The last time that I spoke at an 8:30 service, the title of that message was called The Yielded Soul. And I'm not going to do a whole lot of review, mainly because the tapes are available. What an age that we live in. I'm just going to do enough just to get our mind going down that path, because I know precisely what the Holy Spirit wants to do during these 8:30 services, and a little bit different on Wednesday nights between now and the conference. By the way, I am just tickled that Dave, that's the right word. Is that the right word? Yeah, I'm tickled to have a pastor serious enough about his calling and what God's called him to revival, that he's willing to yield the time that's required between now and that conference, because we only have 4 or 5 weeks. I mean, how rare is that? Do you have any idea how rare that is? It's not rare. Well, anyway, I've got to be nice. But it tickles me, makes me happy. Glory to God. I'm looking forward to this conference. Hallelujah. Well, the yielded soul. Let's just get a little bit of it here. The pictures speak volumes. The best picture in the Bible of the yielded soul that I know of is the lesson that I have at the website called Servants Upon Horses. And without quoting that too much or going back to it, Solomon, in his writings, he said, I've seen a terrible thing. I've seen something alarming to the point that kings ought to take notice of it. He said, I've seen servants upon horses and princes walking. Now, prince is like the heir to the throne, isn't that right? That's royalty. And the picture he was seeing prophetically into the new covenant, because really, the part of us that's born again is not your soul. Our soul becomes renewed. The part of you that was birthed from God, the part of you that is the offspring of your Father God, is that spirit on the inside of you. The new nature. You are born of God's spirit, and that is the prince. The body represents your life. It represents your physical movement through the earth. What does that servant represent? That's the soul of man. And see, the unregenerate man, thank God that the soul has to ride the horse. Because the spirit of the unregenerate man has that sin nature. And that's why Dave taught us for so long going down the born-again trail. He says, every human has the capacity to be a Hitler. Because we all have that. We're born with that fallen sin nature. It's just really a matter of who had you. Who raised you? Were you disciplined? Because that sin nature without restraint, it's a murderer, it's a killer. And the soul of man, that's why God gave the soul of man the law under the old covenant. The law was given for man's soul so that the servant could ride upon the horse and make that fallen nature walk like a servant alongside. But that is exactly the reverse of what God wants in our dispensation. Now that we're born again, he says, now it's time for that prince on the inside of you. The part of you that's born of God, it's supposed to take the ascendancy. Get up on top of the horse and be directing which way that we're going to go. But for that to happen, you have to have a yielded soul. You have to have a soul that's willing to yield and say, I bow the knee. I'm no longer in charge. I'm going to take my place as a servant. I'm going to run along beside here, but I'm not in charge anymore. How's that for a pretty good review? Can you see it? Now, all of you are more familiar with that process than you realize. Because every time that you decide to spend some time praying in other tongues, see, that decision is made in your soul. Isn't that scary? The part of us that's not born of God has the authority to make that decision. It's your choice, the soul's choice every time. And Rudy, now football season has begun. Oh, temptation, temptation. Ours yielded one way or the other, you know. My soul doth love Texas, Ohio State games. Texas one, glory to God. Hallelujah. But every time that you decide to spend some time, turn that TV off, or you just want to spend some time in fellowship with the Lord. And see, the thing of it is, okay, to cover what? For seasons, years of seasons, I have been laying these foundations, line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little, for you. Brick by brick, stone by stone, layer by layer, I have placed a foundation under your feet, those who were hungry, those who would listen, those who would hearken. Now is not the season to relay that which has already been laid down. But now I am building walls. Now I am placing ceilings and levels upon those walls, building a structure. So, kiremaso bato se. He's talking to me now. Don't relay that which I've already laid, but build. Build. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I'll do that. Kodamasi. Okay. Okay. Kinemat stone de rabrata. See, I was fixing to go to 1 Corinthians 14. That's why he stopped me. Buramas stone de rabrata. 1 Corinthians 14 is really how where Dave had us for so many years. He that speaks in an unknown tongue speaks not unto men, but unto God. Howbeit in the Spirit he speak in mysteries. And Dave has told us how, you know, because Paul talks in that chapter, I'm just summarizing instead of reading. Paul talks in that chapter, he says, he that speaks in an unknown tongue edifies himself, but he that prophesies edifies the church. Why is that? Because if you'll spend the time speaking in other tongues, by revelation, the Holy Spirit's going to begin teaching and instructing that person, man or woman. But as you learn those things, those are the very revelations and the instructions that you bring to the church of Jesus Christ to edify the church. We could go through that whole process, but in there he says, therefore let him that speaks another tongue pray that he may interpret. Eventually that understanding needs to cross over from your spirit to the soul. Otherwise the servant has no instruction. Not just revelation, but I'm talking about instruction. Instruction from the Holy Ghost. Do you think revival is going to come as we learn better how to have church ourselves, or as we learn how to follow the Holy Spirit? Who is going to be in charge here? Who is going to be in charge? You going to tell God how this is done, are you? Going to instruct God on how to have revival, are you? Going to go to college and learn how to be a minister, are you? Nothing against college, unless they're teaching you even more firmly how to follow yourself, or to follow the thinking of other men, instead of follow the leadership of Him who speaks from heaven. That's who we're wanting to follow. So I'm not going to be able to go there in the detail like in the past, because that has been done. And if you say, well, I'm new, I've only moved here a month ago, thank God for the tapes. And thank God that they're about to be made available to the whole world in a ways unprecedented before. But if you don't understand these things, it's available for you. Let's say it that way. I was starting to, I'm going to go ahead and do this one picture. I hope it's okay. Every time you make a decision to spend time, see, every time, yes, sir, there is nothing but a yielded soul that ever spends any time praying in other tongues. See, you do know this better than you think. Because there's a hunger on the inside of you, and it's really your choice, the soul's choice, every time. Because while you're in the prayer, again, if you'll allow me, if you could picture like a, and I know the veil was torn in two when Jesus was crucified. I understand that. And that's a type and shadow of the, you know, the Old Testament, only the high priest could go in there, and only once a year. You know, your average person couldn't go in there. All right? But see, the part of us that can go in there is that part of us that is born of God. The holy, that your spirit person is the one that goes in. That's why it says, if you're speaking in an unknown tongue, your spirit praise. It's your spirit man that's in there with the Holy Ghost behind the veil. So if you'll allow me, even though the veil has been torn, the soul of man in the beginning, your mind is unfruitful, it says. Your understanding is unfruitful. So you say, I'm going to spend 1 hour praying in other tongues. And you come right up there and your spirit man like goes in. If you could picture a curtain here that's even torn, but your spirit goes in there to commune now and spend time with the Holy Ghost. But your soul is sitting outside the veil. And the soul has no idea what's being spoken in there. See, his communion's going on, spirit to spirit. And, you know, you had good intentions, maybe 1 hour, maybe 2 hours, maybe 4 hours, you know, after about 10 minutes. Wish I'd have brought that Field and Track magazine. Wish I'd have brought something, you know. If I'd brought a DVD, I could watch Spider-Man again or something, you know. Because your soul is your soul. Your soul is not, it never was designed by God to be in charge. Only under the old covenant did the soul of man have to be in charge again. You've got to understand that. That's why the law was given for the soul. To keep that old sin nature under lock and key. Put a chain on the wolf, if you'll allow that. But see, the thing of it is, as you spend time there, eventually as your spirit man understands these revelations and understands not just revelations, but also instructions for your life, it's your spirit man that like comes to the veil every now and then, goes, just a moment, and like comes to the veil, and here's your soul sitting out here. And if you, the spirit man goes, hey, check this out. And it begins communicating. It's really your spirit that reveals these things that it learned, and your soul goes, cool. Or sometimes, uh-oh. Those are the impasse times. That's when your soul goes like this. You want me to do what? Come on out of here. We're going to go see a movie. That's an impasse. That's an impasse right there. Quit prayer for about 2 weeks. Then the hunger comes again. The hunger comes. You can't stand it anymore. And eventually you go back. Is that not a fairly good picture of the yielded soul? Now, the aspect... Okay, that's the end of review. Now, the aspect that he wanted to get into today is hide not your soul, which is the easiest thing to do. Yes, Kurama. Go to Romans 8. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Here, Mary, I don't want you to... It doesn't look right without this chair here now. It was a great day when Dave... I say day. What was that, a year that we went through Romans 8? My Bible literally... Literally, look at this. Look how the pages move right there. It just, Romans 8. That's the only page in the Bible where it's loose now. I mean, it's, you know. And line upon line, precept upon precept, Dave laid these foundations for us. I'll never forget it. And we can't do it again today, or we're not going to build the wall he's after. See? But Romans 8, look at verse 14, because that's where we're after. It says, for many, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And because it has a capital S there, I, like probably most of you all my life thought, and most commentators that you read about, most of them think that that should be a capital S referring to the Holy Spirit, but it's not. I'd never heard anybody bring out that truth before Dave. That's a little S. It's talking about... And if you leave it in context, it has to mean that. If you leave it in the context of Romans 6, Romans 7, Romans 8, 9, 10, and 11, if you leave it in the context, it means those that learn to walk by the righteous nature placed in them at their new birth instead of walking by that old sin nature that you were born with the first time. Those are the mature sons of God. Now, there is, though, a leadership with a capital S. Amen? And is that not what we're after? I mean, for sure, we're not going to have revival without it. Duh. I mean, for sure, we're going to have the leadership of the Holy Spirit and follow the instructions that come from Jesus, who's sitting on the throne of God right now, He who speaks from heaven. We're going to have to follow His instructions if we're going to have revival. And let's take it one step further. If you're going to play your part and fulfill your calling in that revival, you are going to have the leadership of the capital S, the Holy Ghost. Now, here's the thing. There's no leadership from capital S until you first establish the leadership that comes from the little s. That is the great secret that I didn't realize even after Dave taught that. It was probably another year or two before the importance of that hit me. Because the Holy Spirit speaks through the same place in you where your conscience speaks to you. And if you... Well, cut on my son. We don't really say it this way. And if we were in a court of law, we probably wouldn't agree with it this way. And you probably won't agree with me now when I say it. It doesn't change it. It's the truth anyway. What we'd really like is to have revival and God just leave us alone. Can't we just have revival and you get off my case? You want me to just... Can I just stay the way I am? And let's have revival. And because we... Yes, kodama celebrato, yes. And God says, that's pretty much what I've had up to this hour. And that's why disgrace keeps coming on the body of Christ. Because what we've had really, for the most part, now not everybody, but for the most part, and you know it's true, are what you would call gifts revival. God, the gifts of the Spirit are for, they are exactly that. They're gifts for babies. You can operate in the gifts, I guess, as a mature person too. But Paul, writing to the Corinthians, that very same letter where I started, he says, you guys are carnal, split, divided, bottle sucking, need diaper changing bunch, yet you come behind in no gift. But what tends to happen, we see somebody operating in the gift of healing. And then, it's God. I mean, the person has come in and it's a real miracle. I mean, a real one. You know, they come in some kind of horrible condition and right before your eyes, you watch this miracle. See, we tend to then validate that, to us, that validates whatever that person says as being truth. And sadly, the next thing he says was, not all of, sometimes, now if you want a prophecy from God for a mere offering of $300, $100, $30, I don't care what they charge. Or, because they don't change, yet they're still operating in the gifts. This is what I remember the first time. See, I wasn't raised up around this kind of stuff like Elaine Homer was. You know, from the time she was little, she was singing in those Holy Ghost type revivals, and from the time she was a little bitty girl. And I'll never forget the first time I heard her say, she said, what I couldn't understand was, how could these guys go out and do these miracles and empty wheelchairs and then after the service come back and try and molest me? And I couldn't understand that either. Until the Holy Ghost finally showed me. He says there's a big difference between gifts and transformation. And what God is after this end time... And be honest with you, Sanda de Breto Minka. That's why they've been so short-lived. Even... You might say, well, that healing revival lasted for 20 years, 30 years maybe. from God's point of view. How short is that? That's like just a puff of nothing. You know? What God's after, the kind of revival that's going to come, that's going to last and going to harvest the whole world till Jesus returns, is a transformation revival. People that's finally yielded their soul to the transformation of the Holy Spirit, where we begin having the same testimony as Paul. It's no longer I that even lives anymore in here. It's Christ in me. Glory to God. He's not going to sell you prophecies. He's not after your money. He's after you. Glory to God. Revival breaks out. If God can get a group, some people that actually yield their soul over to the transforming power of the Holy Spirit, so that at the same time that new man on the inside can grow up to maturity and that soul of ours can take its place as the servant walking along beside. God has no shortage of gifts. There is no shortage of power. There is a shortage of maturity in the body. Shortage of maturity. But what if he could get a bunch where he could flow through them like that? And what if... I got to have this tape, you know. Dave says, act like you've always known these things. Okay. See, some things, boy, he's taking me after I can't even talk. Hallelujah. Okay. Well, golly. See, we all want revival yesterday. God, we're going, God, send this revival. Send this. Get me into my calling. God, please, let's hurry. He says, well, I can't go against my own plan. And I'm not going to bring you in this revival ahead of your maturity. Because of His mercy and because of His love for people and wanting so bad to heal and do miracles in the past, that's really pretty much what He's done. And also because, just to be honest with you, from what I'm hearing, this message was, when I say this message, the one that God has given Dave to reestablish in the church, it's nothing new, it's just the old message reestablished, the whole message of mortification and edification and transformation, it was lost. Where could you go to hear it? I never heard it anywhere else till I become here. So God's going, I either have to operate that because they don't really have a school. They don't really know how to yield to the Holy Spirit. I'm talking pre-Dave. Okay? I'm not saying, listen, God assigns assignments to people. I don't care what you think. Kenneth Hagin was sent from heaven and assigned from heaven to reestablish the foundations of faith for the body of Christ. Now, just because a lot of people have run off and perverted it and tried to use it for their own gain does not take away from the fact that God's assigned that man the assignment of relaying again the foundations of faith in the body of Christ. In that same way, it is my firm opinion that God assigned a man named Dave Roberson the assignment of relaying these foundation stones when it comes to mortification and transformation and edification to come into maturity so we could grow up. But God's going, before that's established, nobody had access to it. It wasn't common knowledge. So what's God going to do? He's got nothing but, for the most part, born again babies to work with. So He gives them gifts because people need to be healed. People need, you know, so He would use the gifts, even though it's through these babies, revivals would break out. And then they would last for a while, but then eventually discredit would come again, you know, one way or another. But now this time, yes, sir, boy, that ties right in with the prophecy a little while ago. This time the foundation has been laid. And it's laid out there for anyone now who wants to hear it. And he's going, you don't have to stay a baby anymore. So this time we're going to establish a revival based on maturity. And not no discredit this time. Not going to be running off with the secretary or the money. And present a living Christ, the real Christ, to a lost and dying world. Yes, sir. Good am I saying? Me. I know. Well, hide not your soul. Why do we fall out of prayer? Why do we have those periods where we stagnate? Yes, sir. And sometimes you can even still be in prayer, rigidly forcing yourself to do it. And I mean like an hour or two a day. I don't mean 5 minutes. And still, you're hiding your soul. I'm getting some nods. I'm not the only one that's had that experience. You know why that is? See, again, that leadership, the thing he's trying to bring you to next, you don't want to hear it. Because it's going to require change on something you don't want to change. This verse here in Romans 8, I didn't realize what a treasure it was and what a key it was. Again, Romans 8:14. For as many as are led by the... If you haven't already done it, it's a little s. Mark it. Because it makes all the difference in the world. For as many as are led by the new nature. Let's say it that way. As many as are led by the new nature. They are the sons of God. And by the way, there's three Greek words that could be used there for sons. One is a little boy like Cole over there, my 2-year-old grandson. Another one is for like a middle child. But the third one, the one that's used here, is the one they use at bar mitzvah. The one when the child is, the bar mitzvah that they have is like, is it 12 or 13 right in there? 13. And now you're declaring before the whole world, our son has become a man able and qualified to participate in the family business. That's the word used here. And he's going, you want to be a... He's not saying that those Corinthians, even while they were, you know, dirty diaper and bottle sucking, he's not saying they weren't my child. They were his child, but they're babies. Not ready yet to participate in the family business. But he says, if you ever learn to let that... If you ever get your soul down off of the horse and get it down walking where it's supposed to be, and get that spirit man up on the horse directing your life, get that new nature in charge, you'll become a mature son and ready to participate with me in this revival. Because I can trust you to be led by the new nature. Now here's the thing. As we grow and as we mature, let's use, now instead of the new nature right now, I'm going to use the word conscience. Because your conscience is the voice of your new nature. Yes, sir. Would y'all like to see a type and shadow of that from the Old Testament? Go over to Deuteronomy 8. Now, this was the instructions. If y'all, those of you that heard the lessons from the manna, how God was really the 40-year period in the wilderness is a type and a shadow of the message of mortification and edification. Because during that 40 years, you had the old man who came out of Egypt, who had a slave mentality, who would not trust God, would not believe God. That old man died off for 40 years. The old man was decreasing. The old man was, when you die, they take you to a mortician. You become mortified. Okay? Well, that's a type of mortification for 40 years. And at the same time, these... This new man is growing up. The ones that were not born in Egypt, the ones that were born on the other side. That's a type of mortification, the death of the old man, and edification, the maturity of the new man growing up. Can you see that? Well, now, see, and I see that's exactly what's been going on at the prayer center, and not just, when I say prayer center, that means all of you who live all over the world who have this same vision. You are the prayer center, as much as anybody in this room. Amen? But now, just like, we know we're on the cusp of revival. We know we're at the edge of something. Well, there came this day when Israel came right up to the Jordan again, and they're right on the cusp of now going across to possess the promised land. And Moses, all through Deuteronomy here, he is summarizing everything they learned and giving them instructions from God as they're just right on the edge of being ready now to go into what God has for them. Does that ring? Urgency! Urgency! You better pay attention. We're about to cross over. Hallelujah. Look what he says to them. Now, he reminds them here, and again, I can't do the whole lessons from the manna here in 15 or 20 minutes. They're at the website. They're free. The way I look at it, if you don't have them, it's your own fault. I don't know what else I can do. Okay? If you don't have a computer, you ask us for them, we'll give you a set of them for free. I'm not going to have your blood on my hands on the day of redemption. You understand me? If you fail to find your calling, it won't be my fault. You got that? Now. All right, so he's summarizing Deuteronomy 8. Man, I can hardly... And again, because of not relaying things. He's summarizing here. Okay, we'll just hit the highlights, but I want to get you this one part about this, the conscience. Why did he take them through all of that? Look at verse 2. Thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness to humble thee and to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or no. And he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man does not live by bread only, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of the Lord does man live. If you write in your bottle, if you write in your Bible, the baby bottle, I guess, I don't know. If you write in your Bible, the B-I-B-L-E, as we're teaching Cole, the B-I-B-L-E. Right, you can write in the margin right next to verse 3, Word of Faith Movement. Word of Faith Movement. You've got to learn not to live by your circumstances. You've got to learn to live by the Word of God. I'm not moved by what I see. I'm not moved by what I feel. I'm not moved by these giants that are in the land. If God says we're able to take the land, then we're able. Word of faith. That had to be established first. The word of faith. Then what does God say? He says, it wasn't my will that you live in this wilderness. I'm going to take you into a good land. For us now, for today's lesson, let's call it revival and your part in it. You think houses and boats and cars is going to bring you joy? There's nothing wrong with those things, but you wait till it's your hands on that baby's eyes that was born blind, and the first thing that baby ever sees is you. You're going to have some joy. Woo! You're going to have something that money and cars and boats can't buy, can't touch. You're going to find out what some abundant life is. Glory to God. That's a good land. We could go through a land that flows with milk and honey. It's a good land. Yes. But I'm going to show you Pastor Dave. Did y'all know he's in Deuteronomy 8? Well, he is. Look at verse 11. I'm skipping way down here. Well, let's see. So you'll get the flow. He's bringing them into a good land. To pick it up in verse 9. A land where thou shalt eat bread without scarceness. Thou shalt not lack anything in it. A land whose stones are iron and out of whose hills thou mayest dig brass. When thou hast eaten and art full, then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he has given thee. Here's Dave. Verse 11. Here's the message. Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God in not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes, which I command thee this day. Now stop and look at me for a moment. What Moses is referring to there is the law. We're right at the end of Deuteronomy. So that comes Genesis, Exodus. We've been through Exodus, Leviticus, all of those instructions, all of the law, Numbers, and all of Deuteronomy, coming into Deuteronomy here now. And what he's talking about, these commandments and these statutes, is the law, starting with the Ten Commandments and all of those other things. Under that covenant, he's saying, now look, if you think you're going to possess this land and stay the way you are, you have got another thing coming. You are going to follow this external law that I have given you. And if you read on through the end of this, he's going, if you don't, I'm going to kick you out of the land, just like we're going to kick this first bunch out of the land. You're going to obey me. Now for them, that's where he had to give them the external law, because they had a sin nature on the inside. But can you see plainly, he's going, if you think you're going to possess this land and live in rebellion to my law, you've got another thing coming. It is not going to happen. Now, how's that a type and a shadow for us? Those that are led by the little s, the Spirit, the new nature of God, they are the mature sons of God, ready to participate in the family business. God's going, new creatures, I didn't give you an external law. I have given you an internal law. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. It's called the new nature. And if you think you're going to have revival and live in violation of that new nature, you have got another thing coming. You think you're going to have the leadership of the big S, the Holy Spirit, while at the same time you close your ears to the voice of your conscience? The Holy Spirit speaks through that same gate. It's a total safeguard from God's point of view. You're not going to have the leadership of my Holy Spirit without the soul coming into servancy to the new nature. Hide not your soul. Those things that he's been dealing with you about for years. Stop running. Get back in there. We're not talking a condemnation message either. Of all people. You guys know. Hey, that's why I feel sorry for people that have to judge me. Because they're not very good at their job. You can hang around me 10 minutes and find some flaw. If I'm the one that you're you know, able to judge, you're just not a very good judge. I mean, I know for sure God will walk with a human being through hell as long as that person doesn't know how to get free yet, doesn't know how to do everything correct yet. God will walk through hell with you like that. As long as you don't start justifying what it is that he's trying to get you to change. And you're never going to change if you hide your soul from what it is the Holy Ghost is trying to get across to you. That's why Donner's message that night, my God, I don't know what title they put on there. If you don't have that tape, don't leave here, you know, don't leave the church today without it. The title I would put on that tape is The End of All Whining. And she didn't even tell it all. She ran out of time. And I'm thinking, anybody that could go through that and not be in an insane asylum has got to be walking with God. And you know what the key was? The key right near the end. For her not to be insane or be in prison. Forgiveness. And I'm going to tell you right now, all those fleshly things that you think is what's really keeping you from God. I'm not saying the Holy Ghost isn't dealing with you about them. More than likely. I'm not looking at anybody now. More than likely. What he's really after. First level, it was with me. I can't talk about you so much, but it was with me and most people that we counsel. The first level, normally, where you don't want to hear it, you're going to have to forgive that person. And I don't care what they did to you. That's usually the first one. You're not going to walk very far with the Holy Ghost and be in strife and unforgiveness against anybody. Hide not your soul. I'm going to read just a little of this. By the way, just for the... I keep getting this question all the time. People say, when is bar... You know, we now have the face-to-face documents at the website. And the vast majority of those came in August of September. That are ones I have posted there. What year was that, y'all? 1998? And people say, when's Volume 2 coming out? Yeah, see, I was waiting for Volume 2, you know. No, no, you misunderstood. See, I put those out there as an example and like a carrot. You can have this, you know. Trust me, if Gary can have this, you can have this. Okay? You're supposed to write Volume 2. For yourself. You're supposed to get in there yourself. Learn. Now, I'm going to read to you one that came after those periods. This was later on in that same year. This one isn't in the face-to-face. But they're still going on to this day, not necessarily as intense as that one period there. There was a 40-some-odd day period where it was very intense. But see, we're supposed to walk with the Holy Ghost till we go to be with Jesus. We're supposed to be listening and getting instructions from Him on a day-by-day basis, because He's the one that's been sent to guide us into all truth and show us things to come. Well, I'm just going to read part of it. Hallelujah. This is called Hide Not Your Soul. And here's some notes from Gary. I'll just read you a little bit about what I said. I was frustrated this day. Any of y'all ever go pray and come away frustrated? I mean, if I'm going to give 2 hours, 3 hours of my life, I mean, I expect angels, of the brush of angels' wings and Gabriel's trumpet. Now, I want to hear from heaven. You know what I'm saying? Well, here's my notes to myself. Said, I had not had a face-to-face communication with the Holy Spirit since September 25th. And by the way, this was on November 10th. So October, we've been 40-some-odd days, roughly. And it says, I allowed myself to be consumed with busyness ever since the October Ministers' Conference. Then I began coming back to the ugly building for serious times of prayer. And I've been doing so fairly consistently ever since. This has been a time of primarily praying in the Spirit. However, I would pray and I'd get quiet and listen. But I didn't hear those tongues change to English like they did before. Okay? Good opportunity to quit, isn't it? There's a prophecy y'all might want to read out by the front door as you go out on the left. Endurance is the key. So I was doing the same thing today, and the word acknowledge kept coming up in my spirit, and I didn't know why. Still, it kept coming up. Finally, out loud, I said, Holy Spirit, I acknowledge that You are with me. Whether I feel like it or not, I know that You're with me. We are co-laborers together on the earth to restore the Father's will. In the name of Jesus Christ, I acknowledge You. And immediately I began to hear His voice, which is recorded below the dash line. Now, we can either come back next Sunday. You want me to read a little bit below the dash line? Quote, You have learned a valuable lesson this day, says the Spirit of grace, and forget it not. From the day that you pressed into communion with me in soul and not in spirit only, you have entered the second chamber, which is called the Lamb's Room of Fellowship, where I commune with you not in spirit only, but I bring to you the mind of Christ directly from His mind to your soul by my voice. It is no longer acceptable for you to hide your soul from my voice, says the Spirit of the Lord. And it is required of you that you acknowledge me, not in spirit only, but in soul daily. You must acknowledge me in the soul through the day, each day, for us to walk together in new realms of reality that you've not known before. For years it was acceptable. Now y'all remember the chair. Okay, remember the chair outside the curtain? For years it was acceptable and even preferable that our communion be spirit to spirit as I built the revelation of the mysteries of Christ in you. But know and understand that the foundation of those mysteries is now laid sufficiently in your spirit to support the communion of the mind of Christ directly to your soul as I bring His mind to you. Now, in essence, through prophecy this morning, He said that same thing to you in this church and you that's part of this vision that's hearing this tape. He's going, don't relay the foundations. It's time to build the walls. Now, we may continue with this. Let me give you one example. I hope this is all right. It's got to be all right. We're in the process right now of, because of an instruction I received by this very process, to make our teachings free like water. One day the Holy Spirit, while I was in prayer, He said to me, He said, your teachings are not free enough. And that shocked me because I'm going, they've always been free. How many of y'all have received free tapes from us over these years? For God's sake, you know. And all around the world, thousands upon thousands, we've never charged for anything. And the Holy Ghost says, your teachings are not free enough. And I don't know what that means. I'm going, what do you mean, Holy Spirit? So He says, well, He says, when you want a drink of water at home, how do you get a drink? No, first He asked me, if you run out of, and He knows I don't drink soda pop. I have a soda pop every 3 months, whether I need it or not. I'm just not a guy that drinks soda pop. But we keep it in the house for visitors. Okay? And He says, when y'all run out of soda pop, He didn't say y'all, when you run out of soda pop at the house, what do you do? I said, well, I have to go, you know, me or Sue, one, we have to go out, get in the car, we have to drive to the store, we have to decide what kind we want, pick it up, put it in a cart, take it, you know, knowing Sue, she's gonna find a sale on it first somewhere, and that's good. And then she's gonna pay for it, then we gotta get back in the car, then we gotta drive back home, then I gotta get these things out of the trunk, and I gotta bring them in the house and store them, and then I'm ready, we have soda pop. He says, compare that with what you do when you want a drink of water. And I go, well, if I want a drink of water, nowadays I know most people have bottles, but I'm old school. I take my glass and I go to my kitchen sink and I just get water out of the tap. He says, I want my teachings available to the people when they want a drink of revelation. I want it to be in their home like water, where they can just go get a drink anytime they want. I didn't understand exactly how to do that at first, but now He's getting it across to us. Because through the combination of the internet and computers and now these iPods, do you know these little iPods that have a little 20 gig hard drive? That in MP3 format, they will hold all of the teachings that I have ever done, all of the teachings that Dave has ever done, and about 5,000 pictures in one iPod. If you had that in somebody's home, even if they didn't have a computer. And that's only the technology that's available this year. And the Holy Ghost knows what's coming. So He placed this urgency on the inside of us, and we're working. That's why I have no meetings scheduled this year, unless I may wind up going to Korea. I don't know for sure about that. But the urgency was so strong, He was going, I need you to accomplish this. Get all the messages digitized. That's why they're asking for help to help do the same thing with Dave's. We're getting it by the first of the year. By the first of the year, I want you to have this done. And then He says, you're ready to enter into the next phase of your ministry. Gary, do you know what that is? No, I don't know what that is. Do I want it real bad? Oh, I want it real bad. Now, there's an urgency in me to get this done. And Sue and I were in prayer yesterday, and I'll just tell you, the only instruction we received during that time, I heard the Holy Ghost say, as clear as you're hearing my voice right now. Because see, with me, when I get an instruction like that, His words become my life now. My job is to get this done between now and the first of the year. I have it, Sue can tell you. I have a plan. I've counted up the number of messages. I know how many per week we have to have uploaded to the website. I know Some of them have to be edited. We've got people around the world working on this to help us get this done. But I have it scheduled out. And knowing that stuff happens, I wasn't born yesterday. I'm not allowing us the whole time. I'm squeezing it up. It takes me 13 messages a week, every week, to get those uploaded to the website between now and the first of the year. So we're shooting for 18 a week, getting ahead of schedule. The instruction I heard, yes, and plus that's not all. He's also telling me some things about my weight and about my health. I heard when Tim said this morning, one of the things he's hearing is that we need to enter this next conference physically rested. Well, the Holy Spirit has given me some instructions about my physical. Y'all know how it was at the first of the year. I couldn't even hardly stand. I have some instructions on that. And all I heard yesterday, was it yesterday? Day before, probably the day before yesterday in prayer, Sue and I. Holy Ghost said, don't fall behind schedule. Don't fall behind schedule. He's serious about this. Now that's, to some degree, my soul is yielded to the point where, yes, sir. Okay, I want to close with this. Yes, sir. I'll just let him say it, I guess. Your problem is not the things you have not heard from me. Your problem is the things you have heard from me, yet you hide your soul from obedience to that which I've already spoken. Bring yourself to me. I am your loving Father. I will help you obey me. I will help you with the change that needs to come to your life, says the Lord. But hide no longer your soul from my voice. Even those things you've already heard, look not so much in the realm of the mental. Look in the realm of your conscience for those things I am speaking of now, says the Lord. Did you get that? Did you get that? The realm of your conscience. The real things he's been dealing with you about. For years sometimes. Progressively we come to a place of yielding ourselves to the new nature. The more we do that, the more we become open to the leadership of the Holy Spirit, who speaks through the same voice. Speaks through the conscience. That same place in you. The more you yield to your conscience, the more you're going to hear from the Holy Spirit. Did that bless you at all? Hallelujah. Give the Lord a hand. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Lord, and praise you, Father. We hide not our soul from your voice.